Tammy, what does the trend line look like for federal pensions compared to some other benefits that have changed throughout the years?
Well, as we were talking before, Francis, on the state side, things have changed, you know, kind of evolved over the years with things like covering employees after they separate from their jobs with temporary health coverage and covering employees' spouses with the spouse equity coverage. And it seems like every time either private sector or state governments change their laws, within a few years, it seems like the federal plan seemed to follow suit. And I think that's what we're trying to kind of brace ourselves for at this point in time.
This is not something to panic about, though, right, to be fair?
No, I don't think so. And I think just like the states have been doing, most of these changes, not all of them, but most of them are effective. So, you know, it's our poor young kids coming out of college that are going to have to either work a really long time or going to have to save a lot of money, because it just seems like those defined pension benefits that we've come to love are slowly disappearing.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. There are some folks that are saying, well, if you change the benefit package, even if it's not a formal change like the SERS-FERS delineation, there will be kind of this de facto third group of federal employees. And the more I think about it, the more people I ask, the more the response seems to be, what's the big deal about that?
As far as, you know, losing the pension benefits?
Well, at least not for people who currently have them, but if you sign up and you get what you're promised when you signed up, there are a lot of folks that I'm hearing that are saying, well, that's just the way it goes. Things change over time.
Well, I guess in some respects that's true. So if you were someone coming into the workforce for the first time and you're trying to decide between a federal position or a private sector or state government, and none of them offered a pension, well, then you just have to pick, you know, which one pays the most or which one has other benefits that you like. You know, we deal with what we have available, and, you know, things do change over time. But it seems as though, and I feel confident that current employees are going to have pretty much all of their benefits intact. I think even the Social Security program will be there for those of us who are nearing retirement, because we don't have time to plan for anything else.
The benefit that federal employees have right now, I think it's reasonable to say there aren't a huge number of members of Congress who are willing to stand up for them. But the ones who are willing to do so have some clout. Congressman Van Hollen is the ranking member of the Budget Committee in the House. And on the Senate side, you only need one. It doesn't matter who it is.
Gary Conley's a Civil Service Subcommittee, so he's looking out for the feds. So.
Yes. Also on the House side, there are any number of them. And on the Senate side, the last one to stand up for federal employees in chronological order was Senator Cardin. And so it makes sense when you think about the lay of the land that the current federal employees, as you say, don't maybe have a whole lot to worry about. There's a whole lot of tension out there, as I'm sure you hear all the time.
Well, it appears as though that retirement tsunami that was predicted about 10 years ago seems to be happening. It seems like that we are seeing bigger numbers of employees retiring. We're also starting to see more agencies with their budgets getting squeezed, and they're, you know, considering or already offering early out. So we are starting to see a heavier load of people retiring, but I'm not sure that that's due to just the changes that are proposed. I think it might just be due to people have a lot of service and they're ready to go.
When I asked you about this pension issue earlier in the week, you compared it to a couple other programs over time that have changed. Talk about those for a second.
Yeah. When you mentioned to me about this thing about the federal workforce seems to be following the state, I thought back to even back as far as, you know, the 1970s and 80s, when one of the things that changed was spouse equity. It used to be that the employee decided whether or not they left their spouse a survivor benefit, or former spouses really were left in the cold. And then in 1975, there was it was called ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, that protected those rights for spouses and former spouses, and that was mainly in the private sector. Federal employees were exempt. But then along about 10 years later, 1984, Congress passed the Spouse Equity Act that gave those same rights to spouses of federal workers. So that was one example. And then the other one was a little bit later on in 1986. They passed the COBRA law, which gave health benefits to employees when they left their jobs and gave them some temporary coverage until they could secure health insurance. Well, then in 1990, there was another congressional law that was passed that provided temporary continuation of coverage for federal employees. So it was the same thing, but just had to go under Title V of the U.S. Code to cover federal employees. So we do see a lot of that where the federal employees get the changes, but they might not take effect exactly when private industry, just like this new Roth TSP. That's been available now for a little while in the private sector, and now we're just getting it this year for the federal employees.
Now, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that's actually something I wanted to ask you about. Are you getting people, when you go out and do seminars, are you getting a lot of questions yet about the Roth TSP?
I was thinking I would get more, but not really a lot of interest. I'm not sure if it's that people just aren't interested, or I think most of my audience are people who are near retirement. So they're more interested in getting the pre-tax benefit, the tax savings mm-hmm. that you get with a traditional thrift. I think it's going to be our newer employees, you know, the younger folks who have their whole career ahead of them, that might be willing to sacrifice the tax savings now, but let that money compound and grow over the next 30 or 40 years tax-free. So I think it's going to be the newer, younger employees that probably would be more interested and inclined to contribute to the new Roth TSP option when it becomes available.
The option is supposed to be available in the next couple of months, and it'll be interesting to track that and just see the kinds of folks that are moving their money into it, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. I think it'll be interesting to see if it is mostly the younger folks or if even the – because I think we still have a lot of CSRS employees who have been saving money in the thrift plan, but they don't necessarily need it to fund their retirement. So they might want to put it in the Roth option, so maybe it's going to grow another 10 or 20 years, and that's tax-free growth for them.